Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Time for the sheriff.
Andrew Chapin will take over. All right, time now for the social scene. And Zan tweets, Andrew Chapin is the early season fan favorite guy. Glue type. Love his work so far. Hashtag Cubs. I'm with you, Zan. By the way, we got his car.
I guess one man's beater is another man's finely tuned muscle car. I don't know. Is that a muscle car?
I'm just not the right guy to ask.
Doesn't Chapin look like he's in an HBO show every time you see him on screen? Honestly, he is a character from Eastbound and Down.
I thought you guys were going to say Caddyshack.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Not a movie guy.
Shane, you and Andrew Chapin friends yet?
I think so.
Andrew Chapin, who I hear has a mustache and is entertaining as well.
I put the feeler out there on Saturday. Hey, I'm in the city. I need some help getting rid of this couch. I just took a shot. I just tweeted Chafe, which is what I call him. Chafe, yo, man, I know you got a truck. Can you come help me get rid of this couch? And he said, I would, but I already took my truck back to the farm for the season and the hitch for the Firebirds on back order. I said, all right, we'll figure something out. See you on a different day.
The Dodgers do not have any hits.
Oh, the whole bullpen had no idea. Like, it was completely oblivious.
A combined no-hitter for the first time in the long and legendary history of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Willie to crap on Shane's couch again. I agree.
I swear to God, dude. I draw the line one place. It's a brand new couch.
And have you and Chafe burned that? Have you got together for the big couch burn yet?
He blew me off, man. Man, I had to dump that.
It just ain't right. It just ain't right.
The fact is, Chafin, who has a very good record and a very, very good situation in that clubhouse. Very popular player.
The Cubs, they are the buffet table for all the contenders.
Well, now he's heading out to the Oakland Athletics. And
he's gone, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
The Goodfellas treatment for Andrew Chapin. As we were debating yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour, which Cubs represented which item at Old Country Buffet? Chris Ranji, I believe for Andrew Chapin, we settled on him as the pizza. The cheese pizza that's been out there for like 4 hours. It's very solid. It's kind of dependable. It makes no bones about what it is. It just is what it is. And you'll be satisfied if you grab it. And the Oakland A's went and grabbed it last night.
I feel like that's underselling a little bit. And first of all, I don't know the last time I've been to an Old Country Buffet. I just assumed it was all like country fried steak. Like, that's kind of what I figure their menu is,
yeah.
Right?
Why do they have
slices of pizza?
Yeah, I mean, Shane went Old Country Buffet, so I did that. I was thinking Casino Buffet originally, if you really, I mean, the Chinese Buffet. That's where I gained the most of my weight, either there or the Indian Buffet. But it's got to be the Chinese because I did that more often. Like, if I had to pinpoint the spots in the universe where I added the most pounds at different times in my life, Chinese Buffet, very high.
Well, I can say this about your comparison. Getting the pizza off the buffet, it's not my favorite thing to do, and I don't know if I've ever actually done that. I might have. But you're right. It'll do the job for you. It'll get you full. Yeah. And that's what you're looking for, I think, at that point.
Well, and Chafe leaves town without ever burning any furniture of consequence, I believe, with Shane Reardon. I was hoping last night, tweeting about it, hoping that Chafe and Shane would get together. But nothing as of yet. And then he kind of sent a farewell tweet today. So the audacity, not the odyssey, but the audacity to leave town without burning furniture with you seems to be a thing.
Yeah, it's not really that nice because we had a good back and forth there for a little while. And then he kind of stopped responding to me. And I don't really know why.
Well, you were taking enough of his time.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe probably.
Huh. He didn't seem like he did anything except for tweet people asking for hookups to boat trailers.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing outside
of
playing in baseball games?
What's in it for him to go pick up your smelly couch?
Friendship?
Well,
companionship?
I'm a good time. Like, Chafe and I would have a good time just getting hammered drunk together.
He is leaving town, and the only time he will ever talk to you again is if the Cubs end up playing the A's in the World Series sometime.
I'm not so sure about that.
Or the White Sox play the A's in the playoffs and you reach out to him. That'll be the last time you talk to him.
Huh. I'm not so sure about that, Ronch. Okay.
See,
this is a yes and show. I'm not really sure if you're familiar with how we operate here. This is...
No, man. Ronch's team, yeah, but.
Yeah, I'm team, yeah, but.
His team, no, but. Seriously. It's a problem. You create problems, and that's okay. I think we love that about you.
One second, Speaks. I'm sorry. Ron, you just took a drink of your water. Are you drinking water from a Magic Bullet blender cup without any smoothie in it whatsoever from the Magic Bullet?
Yeah, because I had a smoothie in it earlier, and then I thought, why would I dirty up another cup? I'll just use this.
That is the epitome of a 40-year-old man living alone.
Why would I use a glass? This is right here, and it's perfect.
Because you're on camera. There are... 323 people in this Twitch stream that can see you drinking water from a Magic Bullet empty blender cup.
Yes, that's fine with me.
Okay.
I mean,
if you're out of Malort behind you. Where's the Malort?
If this is the thing. Oh, I got plenty of Malort back there.
I think when he and Mark Grody end up living together and sharing that Magic Bullet blender cup, that's going to be even more sad. Or are we taking a step forward in humanity? I want to ask you about that. I need details on that plan,
okay,
if that plan is actually going to take place.
Yeah.
But first, on Andrew Chafin, you know, there's a couple textures saying, what? Andrew Chafin wasn't even here a year. He gets the Goodfellas treatment? Andrew Chafin was an interesting dude. There's always like a pushback, right? When somebody starts to seem entertaining and they start to get a little public glow, and it's like, oh, he's got a mustache. In fact, I made the joke there. I made the snide, cynical joke there in that produced piece. But as we look back on Andrew Chafin, that's a fun dude. He's a fun guy who enjoys his life, pitched very well while he was here. He even made a joke of it on the way out. He went up to Ross and said, huh, one bad outing and I get traded? That's BS, man, because he sucked the other night. And David got a big laugh out of that, you know? Like, good for you, Andrew. It was nice to know. It was genuinely nice to enjoy that guy for a little bit less than a calendar year.
It's really a perfect situation for a reliever to go into a beloved organization and play for half a season and do your job pretty well during the time that you're here, and also be a personality, have a mustache and a pretty fun car, and you leave on good terms, right? You haven't blown a bunch of games for the Cubs.
No.
You are not the reason that they are a million games out of first place, right? It's not because of you. So whenever he comes back here, whenever that might be, for whatever reason, he's always going to be beloved, at least for that short period of time. People are always going to like him.
I think that is true. Failed starter. There's a couple things to take away from that trade, Ranger. One is that the Cubs ate money, and that is exactly what they should do, right? I mean, they should be eating as much money as possible to get the best quality prospects back in any of these deals. That is the least you can ask a big market team. And they did that. So that bodes well for, look, if Chris Bryant is going to get dealt before Friday, it's fait accompli. Where he goes, I don't know. Tampa in the rumors right now. Tampa's got a good system. They don't have any money. You better eat 100% of Chris Bryant's money should he end up at Tampa, so you get the best thing you could possibly get from that farm system. The same goes for Kimbrel, depending on where he goes, et cetera. So those factors are in the deal. And I was pleased to see that the Cubs did that with Chafin last night.
Yeah, and I know people are, you know, for example, Tampa Bay. I know people are somewhat leery about trading with them because you always feel like they're not going to give you their absolute best because they're very smart about what they have and they're very smart about keeping it. But you still can, for premier talent, get back really good young talent from them. They're not like trying to fleece you every time they make a deal. You just have to make it worth their while. So if the Cubs are serious, and again, I don't know how serious they are about this, but if they really want to compete sooner rather than later, whether that's a year from now or a year and a half from now, whether it's 2023, you're right. Swallowing some of this money and getting the best possible prospects in return who are on a fast track to get to the big leagues, that's what you want. Because you can't – I don't think the Cubs – they might be comfortable doing it. I don't really know internally how they feel. Mm-hmm. But you cannot be comfortable in reality waiting another 4 or 5 years for this team to be good again.
Absolutely. And they got two players. They got a Class A pitcher who's not been very good at Class A. But they got this kid, Greg Dykeman, who's 26, second-round pick from 2017, who can flat-out hit and hit for power. And I was told by somebody who's seen him a lot. He's an upgrade right now over some of the Cubs vets are giving time to, plus he has 6 years of control. So right fielder with big power. Goal has been to cut down on strikeouts and up the consistent contact. And he's done that this year and a little bit last year at the alternate site. He's been progressing as a hitter while the power's gone down a bit. He's spraying the ball around. He's getting on base more often. This is the profile of what Jed Hoyer is going to be looking for in offensive players as the game evolves just a little bit, as the Cubs have failed with all their power or nothing guys. This is a dude who has power, but you can read, you can watch videos where he talks about his approach these days. He is working on contact. And guess what? His strikeout rate is way down this year. His power is down too, and that scares people.
Up.
His walk rate is way, way higher. Yep. His strikeout rate is down, and he is smart. There's a whole video out there where he's talking about his swing. He's clearly smart, and this is intentional, the change he's doing, and that's the scouting profile that I want Jed Hoyer to be seeking as he rebuilds the system and eventually the team.
Yeah, I know people who believe a lot in the balls in play average of, you know, there being some sometimes you can regress a little bit if that number's high, and that number is really high this year. It's at 400, so that's not typical, but I don't think that necessarily means that he's due for a massive regression to something worse than that. Like, I don't think it's going to be that good for him when he gets to the big leagues. He's probably not going to be a 300 hitter here, and that's fine. You don't need him to be. If you can get him on base at a relatively good clip, if that walk rate continues to improve, as you already mentioned, it's up 9 points from last year, which is significant. It jumped from when he was in high A to double A, he jumped like a point in his walk percentage. That's up 9 going from double A to triple A this year.
Which is considerable.
Yeah,
and look, it's not even as much about this guy specifically right now, although I think you will see him in the majors, maybe as soon as this year or next year. But it's about the profile. We've talked so much about how the offense broke and how things failed. And in Jed's opportunity that he has here, I think he's going to target a different kind of hitter. Or at least target people who understand the nuance of the thing so they don't have to try and teach the nuance of the thing. And this guy already understands the complexities of it and already says things like, I'm strong enough that as long as I make enough contact, I should end up hitting enough home runs. He's already accepted that. That's big.
And he's on the older side as far as prospects go, and he's 26, but he just turned 26. So you could conceivably have him playing for you really soon. Like, I mean, he could be playing for you at the age of 26. I don't know what their plans are for him, if he's going to make it up to the big club this year or if it's going to be a situation where maybe he is on the team in 22, he will still be 26 when the year starts. So if all of these things we're talking about are fairly advanced, it should translate at the big league level quickly. Doesn't mean it's going to, or I mean, it could right off the bat, but it may not sustain, and we don't know that yet. But I think you're right as far as the profile and what they're going for right now. This is somebody who could, if everything goes really well for them, help them out fairly immediately. Maybe not this year, but you don't really care about this year,
right?
Aside from maybe getting him some work up with the big club, and that would be a positive for them moving forward into the following season. But if he can help relatively soon for their, you know, for their situation, that's a great thing.
Yeah, this it's such a fascinating week here, and it's easy to get lost in like the empty calories of the rumors that are out there and some non-information that is out there. But there's also there are things to learn, like that Max Scherzer contract is insane and what that will mean for the team that gets him. The Eric Hosmer situation in San Diego, how they might be attaching really good prospects for a team willing to take that money. Is that something the Cubs should do? You know, it's like you've got opportunities here to do some really weird things that might seem strange when you get the reports. But just know there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're trying to keep you abreast of all of it.
It's going to be fun when Scherzer's in a Dodgers uniform, isn't it?
Yeah, he really is going to be, isn't he?
Yeah, probably.
I think he is. I think that's exactly where he's going to be. Fill the Trevor Bauer spot, because Bauer's not going to pitch for them, I think, ever again. He's Chris Ronji. I'm Matt Spiegel. Top of the hour, Hawk Harrelson and White Sox broadcast stories with Bob Grimm. Really looking forward to that. When we come back, the WWE moments from last night that Megalodon added to. We'll talk about that next with Ronji Spiegel on the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Garrett Reddy, the pitch. Baez hits a fly ball. Cubs are going to win the ball game. Deep center field. Cubs win. Cubs win. Javier Baez with a game-winning fly ball.
That was a lot from Javi last night. I mean, if you're ever going to be bothered, if you're somebody who is not bothered or you've talked yourself into a spot of not being bothered by the histrionics of ball players as they trash talk, as they celebrate, that pushed against the boundaries for some people, I am sure, last night. And not just Amir Garrett and the Cincinnati Reds. Javi was trash talking before the at-bat. it seemed like he was trash talking during the one pitch that he saw, and then as soon as the ball was hit, and then 16 seconds to get to first, as nudged forward by Wilson Contreras, that was quite something. Ranji, let's hear it from Marquis last night. Bases loaded, tie game, Amir Garrett comes in, big-time history with the Cubs, big-time history with Javi, most notably earlier this year, but it goes back several years, and it took one pitch from Javi, and while Megalodon made Javi look very, very heroic in the post-celebration, here's how it sounded.
This is great theater right here, these two guys getting after it. This contentious history.
All right, so now watching at home, do your math. Look how many outfielders they have. Two. And they're going five infielders. India and Votto on the right side. And they'll go Freeman, Farmer, Suarez on the left side. And Baez and Garrett weren't going to be hugging it out anytime soon.
Yeah, they're kind of chatting already. This is crazy.
So here we go. All loaded up. Bottom of the ninth, 5-5. Garrett ready, deals. In the air, center field.
Bobby is just staring at Garrett.
Is that, and Baez let Garrett know. Baez tossed the bat, Garrett picked it up. The celebration is on, and the Cubs win it 6-5.
One pitch, that's all it took.
My God, I mean, the jersey coming out of the pants, the I am the champion of the world pose with the arms outstretched, Megalodon making him look in portrait mode. That was epic WWE-level theater last night.
It was a lot, but I thought it was great. I thought every bit of it was great. And you mentioned right off the top and in the highlight, you could hear it, Baez talking at him before he even gets in the batter's box, which I'm not sure how many times, if ever, I've seen that. Like, usually it's in the middle. It's after pitch one or something happens or the catcher says something or, you know, something occurs within the at-bat. I don't know if I've ever seen a hitter walking up to the plate already barking at the pitcher. If it's happened, I don't remember it.
You're not supposed to be able to go up there with that kind of intensity and do your job as a big league hitter with focus. You're not supposed to be able to do that. That's why, like, Nico Horner talking about it last night said, that's a special player. You know, like, to have that kind of energy and fever and frenzy and put it all in the swing and actually hit the hell out of the ball, that's a pretty rare feat, that's for sure. My favorite moment was Garrett picking up the bat that Javi had kind of tossed aside.
Yeah.
And the umpire, the first base umpire, immediately coming over to Garrett, like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, let's take that bat off the field.
Yeah,
you and me, let's go into the dugout and go and get out of here, shall we? With a smile on his face. Because, like, Amir Garrett picking up that bat, that did not seem like a good idea.
And then he just, you know, politely tossed it back toward the Cubs dugout, which is great. And Garrett didn't do anything wrong last night. He just, First things first, he better be able to take it.
He better be with everything that he gives.
Totally agree.
He better be able to take 100% of this and not have it result in throwing at somebody or whatever.
That is correct.
You bring this on yourself when you're Amir Garrett. That's what he does.
I think, Matt, he gets that. I get the impression he gets that. That if it's good for him, that it's also good for the hitter if he wants to do it too. At least that's my impression of Amir Garrett. I think he understands that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he took it all personally. He probably got heated, but I think he got heated because he doesn't like Javi. And Javi doesn't like him.
Right.
And I think ultimately that's what matters here, is that there's one of those. That there's this dude really hates this dude, and that dude hates him back. I love when that happens in baseball.
Uh-huh.
Because it doesn't happen enough in baseball. And when it does happen, it's quiet, and you have to hear about it way after the fact, or maybe there's a brawl and then you go, what started that? Like, why did that happen? I love knowing that there are two people who genuinely do not like each other in baseball and they play a bunch of times a year against one another. I think it's great.
And it's rare that you get a crystalline moment of them going against each other.
Yes.
Like you did last night, everybody knowing full well what the dynamic was in a moment like that. I want to hear how the Reds postgame show felt about that. Chris Tannehill advising us that this is worth a listen. Who's doing Reds postgame these days?
There's no way to know.
Okay.
I tried checking. You search Reds, you know, postgame, Bally's TV. That's who it's courtesy of. And
it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. It could be any baseball talking heads. And
all right, let me
Johnny Reds guy.
Johnny Reds guy and Chris Sabo. You know, I'm just going to throw out an old Red from the past.
Does Javi Baez and what happens here tonight, does it fall outside of any of those parameters?
I feel like that's showing up to the umpteenth degree. I mean, if you're going to do your little rock or your bat flip, like, that's kind of one thing. Like, immediately just disregarding everything else that's going on. I mean, that's just all about him. Like, that has nothing to do with the team right there. Be excited that you won the game. That's cool enough. You just walked off in a big league game. Now you're going to go after this monster on the mound and, like, create some fight because your team's, I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't think that's very cool. Well, I mean, not me.
Yeah, I don't either, but we'll get the ruling later. But the thing that stands out is, why was Nick Castellanos suspended for directing it at a player in Jake Woodford? If that wasn't all directed at Amir Garrett by Javi Baez, I don't know what was. And frankly, I was surprised that I didn't see the entire field, but I'd like to see the reaction of the other Reds players leaving the field to see what they thought as they took that in.
I was having some trouble sleeping nights or something with it. I don't know, but like, that looked like a lot of pent-up frustration about something going on there, and I don't know what, but just to make it like this personal vendetta when it's been going on, almost, while it's a competitive nature, like almost good-natured, if it can be that way, before that. And that just kind of flips everything, and now this is going to be a series that's, it's going to be watched. I'll tell you what. I'd almost be surprised if warnings weren't issued before the game tomorrow.
It would have to, but that's what I'm saying. So every bit of this is directly at. There's no question about that. You can't question that all of that was directed at Garrett. And then you got to get him to first base. Wilson Contreras is trying to get him to first base, and then that happens. But this is all, it's been brewing for a while. We've seen the matchups earlier on with Amir Garrett and Anthony Rizzo, then Amir Garrett and Baez. And so let's go ahead and flash back to.
It took those guys, Matt, about a minute 45 seconds to get to the most important part. And that is, now people want to watch a game with two teams that are a combined 15 games out of first place.
Let me tell you, like, that Brian Gesenschlag should be thanking his lucky stars that some drama has been inserted. I believe that's Brian Gesenschlag, according to MLB.com, doing the Reds pre and post. I agree with Brian Gesenschlag that that Nick Castellanos shouldn't have been suspended for directing that at Yadier Molina. I thought that was absolute garbage. And then I believe the color analyst there is Sam LaCure, in his fourth season working on the Emmy Award-winning Reds live pre- and post-game shows. I've been dying to know what Sam LaCure thinks about anything.
I didn't even know he was still alive.
No.
I didn't know he was ever alive. You mentioned Yadier Molina.
Yeah.
That is speaking of histrionics, that's a dude who either last year or the year before, I can't remember which, got a walk-off hit of some kind. I think it maybe a bloop single. I don't know. And threw his bat into the outfield.
Into the outfield.
Everybody thought that was great when that happened.
I understand. Well,
what's the difference?
We got to take a break. Thank you to Brian Gesenschlag and Sam LaCure. I want to talk about that hobby thing again a little bit later. But when we come back, Hawk Harrelson gets enshrined. We'll hear from a man who was there and was name-dropped during the speech as well. Next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.